Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus the Christ. Will you please join me in a moment of prayer? Dear Lord, we pray that you would comfort and heal all those who suffered violence last night in Pittsburgh and who suffer violence around the globe for their faith or their identity. We ask that you would protect those charged with keeping us safe. And we pray that you would bring your peace to this world, the peace that passes all human understanding in and through Jesus the Christ. Amen. A few years ago, I was at a family reunion visiting with some cousins that I hadn't seen for a number of years because of our move from the East Coast out to Minnesota. One of my cousins brought greetings from her father, a favorite uncle of mine. At the time, he was in the far stages of dementia, living in a long-term care facility, and so wasn't able to come to this reunion. So my cousin brought us this greeting. "Tell my family that, although I do not remember them, I still love them." That has stayed with me ever since. And each time I remember my uncle's words, they call to mind both a poignant grief and a quiet gladness. The grief comes from my childhood memories of a beloved uncle with a quick wit and a deep and generous wisdom who slowly but surely lost most of his memory. At the same time, I can't help but feel a measure of resilient, even defiant gladness that some emotions, like love, endure even beyond our memory. Because even though he may have forgotten much, including most of his extended family, he nevertheless remembered that we were still all bound to each other in and through love. I thought of my uncle once again when reading today's scripture passage from Jeremiah, the Old Testament lesson always read on Reformation Sunday. It's one of my favorite passages in scripture, and it describes God's intention to take the matter of Israel's relationship with God fully into God's own hands by making a new covenant. "This is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another or say to one another, 'Know the Lord,' for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord." This decision to forge a new covenant arises both from God's profound heartache at the inability of Israel to keep faith with God, and from God's relentless determination to save God's beloved people no matter what. "It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant that they broke even though I was their husband, says the Lord." Israel broke God's covenant and commands over and over and over again. They just couldn't keep it. And so in response, God destroys them, revokes their status as the chosen people, condemns them to eternal damnation. No, in response to Israel's failure to keep the old covenant, God creates a new one. Now, this new covenant differs from the old one in a couple of ways, but perhaps the most significant is summed up in the very last line of today's passage. "For I will forgive their iniquity, says the Lord, and remember their sin no more." Did you hear that? At the core of this new covenant is not a new set of commands or harsh warnings. Rather, at the core of this new covenant is God's decision to forget. To forget Israel's sinfulness, betrayal, and infidelity. God does not just pass over, absolve, or forgive this time around. God also forgets, erasing even the memory of the breach in their relationship. Which is when I think of my uncle. Because it sounds like God is having memory difficulty. If not full-blown dementia, certainly, at the very least, God is more than a little bit absent-minded. Selectively absent-minded, we assume, but absent-minded nevertheless. And truth be told, this is a little uncomfortable to think about. I mean, memory is so central to who we are, which is, of course, what makes dementia and Alzheimer's so terrifying. If we lose our memory, we wonder, will we really still be ourselves? If we lose our memory, how will we even know who we are? And yet in this passage, it sure sounds like the God of Israel, the one who neither slumbers nor sleeps, chooses to forget. Is this really possible? I mean, Israel's habit of running after other gods never called to mind again, and that whole golden calf thing just totally forgotten? It's a startling, unexpected, even uncomfortable way of talking about God. We are normally so afraid of losing our memory that it's almost unthinkable. And yet, if I'm totally honest, there are things I wish I could forget. Any number of things, actually. Do you know what I mean? Like, for instance, all those minor slights or injuries that I seem to hold on to, unsure at times if they were even intended as slights, yet unable to let them go. Or even more, some of the painful things that I've said or done out of being hurt or angry, even to those I love the most. Wouldn't it be wonderful to just forget some of these things and in this way to start anew? I sometimes wonder, in fact, if that's part of our problem, that we have difficulty forgetting the mistakes we've made or those others have made, and so we can't imagine a future any different than our past. We can't forget old biases or prejudices, for instance, whether they're religious or ethnic or political, and not able to let them go, they simmer until boiling over into the acts of rage and violence that have all too frequently dominated our news. I definitely think this is part of Israel's struggle, a struggle Jeremiah knew firsthand. They have made so many mistakes, they just can't forget what it's like not to trust God. They can't forget what it's like not to be afraid. And most of all, they can't forget their persistent pattern of unfaithfulness. And not being able to forget these things, they are doomed to repeat them. And so God does what Israel cannot. God forgets. In response to their failure, God refuses to recognize it. In response to their infidelity, God calls them faithful. Today, we remember and celebrate and give thanks for the Reformation. In light of the violence at a Jewish synagogue yesterday in Pittsburgh, I think it's more important than ever to remember and be clear that Martin Luther was by no means perfect. He, too, struggled mightily to forget old prejudices, and some of his words about his Jewish neighbors have helped fuel the anti-Semitism that still plagues us, which is why Lutherans bear a particular responsibility to care for and stand with our Jewish neighbors. But whatever his manifold faults, Luther did remember and in some ways rediscovered this, that the word that captures the character of God better than any other is love. Not justice, or power, or glory, or might, or awe, or any of the other words that might come to mind, but love. For God so loved the world that God sent Jesus. Which is why this passage from Jeremiah is read each year on Reformation Sunday, because out of love, God is intentionally absent-minded about all our faults and failures. Out of love, God decides that our mistakes and misdeeds, our hurts and regrets, while perhaps important to us, will not define us. Out of love, God chooses to forget whatever may have gone wrong in the past, in order that we might walk into an open future and live into a new relationship with God and with each other. And if God forgets, then what do you think? Might we also forget? Might we, that is, let go of some of the past memories that haunt us and in this way live into an open and new future? It will not be easy, I know. Some of these memories, though painful, have defined us for so long that we fear if we let them go, we might not remember who we are. So hear and trust this promise. God knows you and loves you fully and completely, even when you have a hard time loving yourself, let alone your neighbor. And this love over time will set us free. Tell my family that, although I do not remember them, I still love them. For I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. The enduring power of the gospel is that when push comes to shove, God still does for us what we cannot do for ourselves. God forgives and God forgets. Because some things, like love, are stronger even than memory. And so God comes to us each week as we gather to hear the word, forgives us once more and sets us free, promises to forget all those things that we can't and create for us an open future, and then sends us out from this place to live as God's own children and to share God's love with all we meet. This is our duty. This is our privilege. This is our calling. We can do no other. So help us, God. Amen.